First, federal lawmakers reintroduced the Black Maternal Health Momnibus Act this week. It's a package of bills that takes aim at the black maternal death crisis in the U.S. Wisconsin has the highest black infant mortality rate in the United States, and our state's pregnancy-related maternal mortality rate is 5 times higher for black women than it is for white women. Gwen Moore is a Democratic U.S. representative from Wisconsin's 4th District, which includes parts of the Milwaukee metro region. She introduced part of the Momnibus legislative package. I talked to her earlier today. Representative Moore, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you so much. I enjoy your program. It's good talking to you again.
Thanks. Well, now you introduced a bill that's part of this broader Momnibus package focused on the health workforce, the perinatal health workforce. What kind of things are you hoping to accomplish here?
Listen, thanks for asking. This Perinatal Workforce Act really is something that really has evolved out of my own lived experience. As a mother of three, grandmother of three, great-grandmother of two, I've experienced pregnancy as a black woman and it has really navigated some of the need to provide more professional care so that we can reduce the maternal deaths and bad outcomes from pregnancy. As you might know, we've talked about this before, Rob, that black women, brown women, certainly Native American women, are 3 to 5 times more likely to experience death or disability during pregnancy than other women. And it's not because there's some sort of black gene that's warped, but it's because of the sort of the institutional racism, neglect, cultural incompetence, and women falling through the cracks. And I think in my own experience really demonstrates that. You know, I had my first baby at age 18, and it was such a traumatic experience for me, Rob. I really didn't have that. I had my other two children at home. I went into the hospital at age 18. They separated me from my adult sister. It was New Year's Day, the wee hours of New Year's Day. I mean, every male intern in that hospital came in to examine me. In what I regarded as a compromised position. I even knew then that something was really inappropriate about this train of men examining me, and then one even opining that it wasn't that bad after I just sort of cried out from the pain of being in labor. So I went on to have that child, but it was really important to me to have the visiting nurse come and visit me after I had the baby. Taught me how to put a pin in a baby's diaper. I mean, I did not know how to do that. Fast forward, my daughter gave birth to my first granddaughter at 1 pound, 2 ounces. We needed lactating specialists to work with us to help her produce the milk for this 1 pound, 2 ounce baby. We have some at-risk pregnancies. Unfortunately, Milwaukee is one of the places where we have very young mothers. So you take a 15 or 16-year-old, and it may not have the kinds of – they may be at risk. I live very close in my neighborhood to a place, you know, where girls who – are in trouble or break down in their family relations live, those are pregnant women who would benefit, we think, a great deal from having a doula, someone to advocate for them, make interventions, make sure they're having the right diet, that they're getting to the doctor's appointments. And we actually have a doula program in Milwaukee that is really, really demonstrating itself to have really good outcomes. And so we're, even a physician's assistant. My daughter had her second child, and it was a physician's assistant who carefully scoured her record and prevented the physician who was all scrubbing up, getting ready for a vaginal birth to say, no, here in the record, we've got to do another C-section. And so I have really, from my own learned experience, come to recognize the broad array of professionals that are missing between, you know, that person who might give you a pregnancy test and the person who's there in the delivery room for you to give birth, and how we might be able to mitigate some of the tragic outcomes of pregnancy for Black and brown women with a perinatal workforce. And, you know, go on.
What would your legislation do to kind of make sure that those professionals are there, they have the training, and they have the sympathy for the patients that need their help?
You know what? This is a really good thing. We have the science and research that really show that racism, sexism, and access to quality health care compromises Black women's health. And we hope that that's a compelling enough to draw people into this workforce and to get them to be interested. But they also have to have training, certification. And we have to have, and my Mama's First bill would provide Medicaid. We talked about this before, access to Medicaid and payment for these professionals. So I want them to have education, training, best practices, and to be able to be reimbursed. What if the insurance company were to reimburse, say, an at-risk 16-year-old who's pregnant for a doula, you know, that older woman who is there to make sure that they keep up with their doctor's appointments, that they're there to advocate for them so they're not ignored? I remember about a year after I graduated from high school, there was a girlfriend of mine who went to the hospital with pain, complaining of pain, and they sent her home with the old take a couple of Tylenol routine. And she ended up having an ectopic pregnancy and dying. Somebody who, I mean, sort of typical of people being ignored, people, a Black woman's pain not being acknowledged and recognized. You know, what if, you know, you're in that situation and you have a doula, you know, and somebody says, look, you sent her home, but the pain is agonizing. We're coming back. And make them respond. Because right now, I feel sorry for our overburdened healthcare system. I mean, right now we have a healthcare system. I hear they're putting people in the gift shop because of COVID. There have been surgeries for other maladies that have been postponed because of COVID. Predominating. Imagine how pregnancy could get crowded out as an issue for people to be concerned with. Imagine, I think about all the moms and the risks that they've taken giving birth during COVID and going to a hospital for that to happen. And then we have healthcare professionals that are specializing. We've got a whole group of geriatrics coming on board. People have other specialties. And we don't want there to be a drain of talent that doesn't look at getting good maternal and child outcomes because they're attracted to other fields where they can get the pay that they deserve. We think that women's health, and then this is such a startling different outcome for Black and brown women. And so we think it's really important to be able to attract people to this workforce.
As we wrap up, again, this is one piece of a larger package. This package had been introduced before. Are you hopeful that that something's going to get passed this time around, given everything else that's going on in Congress right now?
Hallelujah. We've got a new sheriff in town. We've got a president. And, you know, for all of the stuff that first of all, let me just talk about the vice president, Kamala Harris. When she was a senator, she was the original Senate sponsor of the Momnibus. So Cory Booker now is picked up her legislation this cycle. But she's the original sponsor. So her eyes are not going to glaze over we don't think her eyes are going to glaze over when she sees our package come up. And we also think that Joe Biden himself, just having been a single parent, has a lot more empathy for these issues than past presidents. Just the well-being of moms and kids, and we are excited about the opportunity.
Representative Moore, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Gwen Moore is a Democratic U.S. representative from Wisconsin. She talked to us about a package of bills to fix racial health disparities for pregnant women. Next, we'll talk to a Wisconsin economist about efforts to improve Black maternal outcomes here in the state. And you could join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts, your questions, maybe your own experiences. That's 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation about racial disparities in maternal health outcomes and efforts to turn the tide. You can join in at 800-642-1234. How do you think we can better help Black moms and their newborns? Is this something you've experienced yourself? If you are a woman of color, you've given birth here in Wisconsin. Have you had trouble getting good treatment? If you work in healthcare, what have you seen? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. Tiffany Green is an economist and teaches in the departments of population health sciences and obstetrics and gynecology at UW-Madison. Tiffany, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, we just heard from Representative Moore, both with her legislation and her personal experiences. Can you tell us more about the sort of disparities we see here in Wisconsin for moms of color, Black moms in particular?
For Black moms in particular, you see patterns amplified that you see across the rest of the United States. You already stated before that Wisconsin has the highest Black infant mortality rates in the United States. And while our maternal mortality ratios are lower in absolute terms, the magnitude of the gap is wider here in Wisconsin when it comes to Black-white maternal mortality.
I guess a big question would be why. I mean, it's bad around the country. Why particularly bad here in Wisconsin?
I think that people have a lot of speculation. I don't know that I would say that this has been empirically established, but Wisconsin is characterized by quite a bit of inequality when it comes to unemployment, when it comes to high Black male incarceration rates. That system of inequality contributes likely to adverse birth outcomes.
You've been involved in efforts to tackle this problem in Wisconsin and in particular in Dane County, where you're based, of course, as a researcher. What kind of things do we see in the state that are trying to turn things around here?
Well, I guess I will be a little biased and put forth the Black Maternal and Child Health Alliance that was founded just a few months ago to bring a coalition of Black women working in organizations across Dane County to support Black birthing people and their families. And I think this work is really important because we are addressing some of the structural issues, whether it comes to coordinated care. We are working on building a portal where Dane County citizens and citizens across the state and country can view some of the disparities with the hope of using those data to turn things around. And we also have an arm of the Black Maternal and Child Health Alliance that is addressing the needs in the most resource-deprived neighborhoods in Dane County with an effort to redirect resources towards those neighborhoods and residents in order to improve the lives of Black families that live in those places.
We heard from Representative Moore sharing her personal experiences there, giving birth and feeling like healthcare staff, some of them not taking her seriously, not listening to her concerns. Same for her children and grandchildren. And when you start to dig into this issue, these are stories, it seems like, you hear again and again from Black women in the healthcare system. Is this something you see out there? And if so, what can we do to, I don't know, bridge those gaps?
So yes, this is pretty common. I think the world learned more about this when Serena Williams talked about her birth experience. She is a world-class athlete that knows her body and knew that she was having a pulmonary embolism. And her nurse basically told her, hey, you're confused from pain medication. Serena Williams. And as it turns out, she did have this disorder. And that really marked a cascade of issues after she was diagnosed with that pulmonary embolism. And I think that we don't have a lot of data, but we see from qualitative studies and even some quantitative studies that Black women are less likely to be listened to in care. And this includes perinatal health care. What can we do about it? It's a challenge. And I think one, making sure that they have high quality care where providers are listening to them. And if the providers cannot provide that care, then they don't need to be seeing birthing people.
We're talking to Tiffany Green from UW-Madison, the Department of Population Health Sciences, an economist there, and she works with the Department of Obstetrics and Gynecology as well. We're talking about efforts to close racial gaps when it comes to health outcomes for new moms and their kids. Big racial gaps around the country, including maybe especially here in Wisconsin. You could join in with your thoughts, questions, and experiences at 800-642-1234. Tiffany, we talked to Representative Moore about this big piece of legislation in Congress. We focused in on a piece of it that she had sponsored. As you look at what they're calling the momnibus here, what stands out to you that might be particularly helpful?
So, I think that the momnibus does something really important. It's addressing not just medical care, but the social determinants of health, which are likely far more important, including housing, including education. All those things matter when it comes to birth outcomes. And I think they've had to do that because we have eroded the social safety net, right? And so I think those may be an important start to helping improve outcomes by giving people the things that they need to thrive and survive. You can't have a healthy and an uncomplicated pregnancy if you're worried about housing. And you can see in the Saving Our Babies report that the Foundation for Black Women's Wellness did a couple of years ago, where women talk about having challenges with housing in Dane County, having antagonistic relationships with landlords that take advantage of them. And so those things matter when it comes to stress. And although we don't know the etiology of most preterm birth, we have a pretty strong feeling that it is related to stress. And I think by eliminating, the worry about these very basic needs, that might go a long way towards helping to get us to the right path.
I've been talking to, I think, a lot of public health people, Tiffany, and some policymakers over the last few years, trying to draw that line between social conditions, economic conditions, things like housing, food availability, quality of life, things like that, drawing a straight line from that to health and health outcomes. Do you see this as something that's getting taken more seriously now by policymakers, by people who vote on decisions that'll affect these things?
I think people are taking it seriously. The challenge is, and this might be a little bit unpopular to say, that often the right solutions don't align really well with election cycles, right? These are things that are going to take a very long time to implement and to see the results of. But I think that I'm glad to see politicians investing in these long-term solutions to help improve these outcomes.
Let's bring on a caller now. Tom is with us in Milwaukee. Tom, hi.
Hi. I'm wondering, in light of these mortality rates for young minority babies or pregnant women, I understand that there will be people that are appealing for changes in the system, but why don't whole communities look at this and say, this is horrible, fix it?
Thanks for the call. Tiffany, do you see communities starting to raise these concerns?
So what I will say is that there have been communities working on these issues for a very long time. In Madison in particular, the elders such as Betty Banks and Hershey Barnett were doing this work for a very long time through Harambe Village before the city of Madison closed it down. So they have been, they and others like them have been doing this work for decades, but it's only now that people have been paying attention, to be quite frank. And so I am heartened by some of the concern that people are showing now. But remember that even if we don't know that people are working on these issues, there have been Black women in this community in particular working on this stuff for a very long time when, frankly, people didn't care.
Thanks for the call. And Tiffany, we focused with the statistics on deaths, women dying during their pregnancies, children dying shortly after being born. There are other outcomes, I imagine, that are going to stick around for life. Bad health outcomes for moms and their newborns that can last for years. Is that part of what we're focusing on here, too?
I think that's important. While you know, the rise of social media has really brought these maternal deaths into relief in ways that we haven't seen before, I think maternal deaths are a devastating but actually pretty rare outcome. It's maternal morbidity that we also need to be concerned about, things like hemorrhaging, cardiovascular events that are the canary in the coal mine for maternal mortality. And thus, it's critical that we address the social determinants of these to prevent them in the first place, and also make sure that women receive and birthing people receive coverage past that standard, that short time in which you get kicked off of Medicaid, right? So a lot of these cardiovascular events, a lot of things that lead to mortality last beyond 42 days, which is our standard measure of maternal mortality, right? So it's really very important that we, as you say, think about these issues. In terms of low birth weight and preterm birth, the United States, we're actually very good at saving tiny babies, but those tiny babies that are born often have a number of health and developmental outcomes that are very expensive. And it's important to make sure that they have the support that they need to thrive.
We'll leave it there for now. Tiffany, thanks a lot for joining us today.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Tiffany Green is an economist and teaches in the Departments of Population Health Sciences and Obstetrics and Gynecology at UW-Madison. She talked to us about health obstacles that Black mothers and infants currently face and how to improve those outcomes. We also heard from Wisconsin Congressional Representative Gwen Moore, who's sponsoring part of a big piece of legislation on that issue.